You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're counting it down with the Browns on the practice field right now as we're talking to you. Getting ready, trying to win their eighth of the year. Trying to win an all-important eighth of the year and then move forward with a couple left. Task at hand, second battle of Ohio, the Cincinnati Bengals coming up on Sunday right here at First Energy. Know you're getting primed and ready for that. It's very anticipatory here, as Matt and I have been telling you, around Berea today. Mike Pettine's been by a couple of times today. Looks like he's got that strong bounce in his step, jaw set. Pettin's always got his jaw set, though, doesn't he, Matt?
Yes, he does. And that's good.
That's kind of the
it's good.
The always look for Mike Pettine.
It is, and it's one of those, what I associate that is he's never caught with his guard down, so he maintains that jaw set, as you say.
Like it. 216-578-0850. Let's get back at it. Browns Nation, love hearing from you. Out to Las Vegas we go. Sin City, where I bet they're talking about Manziel today, huh?
Ryan, yeah.
What's going on? How are you, Ryan?
I'm pumped up because I'm going to actually be at the game Sunday for the first time.
Nice.
All right, man. Great.
First time since pretty much 2005. But again, you know, I guess you guys are speaking about the controversy that is, you know, the quarterback scenario that is. Obviously, you talked about the past 15 years, which is the biggest. You know, Tim Couch, obviously, with Kelly Holcomb, with him breaking his leg. I was at the game where he broke his leg. Holcomb took over, and the crowd was cheering, and it was very sick. And there were some other incidents where we cheered when he got injured, and he was crying, obviously. Another, I think the biggest one, again, I predating pretty much the 80s, I'm not really fairly sure what scenarios occurred with Brian Sipe in the day or even, you know, the old school quarterbacks. But obviously the biggest controversy quarterback for Clevelanders that remember is Bernie Kosar being traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And that was just, everyone was outraged. Obviously, Testaverde helped us by beating the New England Patriots in the playoffs in 94. Only to lose to the Pittsburgh Pukes in the following game. But again, this one, in my honest opinion, is number three for Clevelanders, meaning controversy, but it's number one nationally ever, in my opinion. Obviously, just due to the frenzy of just, you know, people being able to communicate much easier, you know, now it is. But again, for me, particularly for Manziel, I just want him to wing it. I just want him to play his game. And I recognize there's little things, crinkles that you could thin out, that you can make him a better quarterback in the NFL. But again, just every single play, it's fun. It's just something you haven't really seen pretty much since LeBron joined the Cavs in 03. So again, if I'm looking at what I want out of Manziel this week, again, I want him to play his game.
Yep, good stuff, Ryan. No, and Matt and I were referencing that. I use the term, let it rip. You know, that's what he does. He's a swashbuckler. Let it rip. You know, we know the kid can spin it. There's some concerns. We've brought up some of the concerns. But again, let's not, if he plays poorly, those of you that aren't, you know, none of the I told you so, it's going to be an evolvement.
It is.
Like if he plays great, I'm not going to prepare his bust for Canton, you know?
Exactly.
It goes each way.
You're right.
You got to flatline this thing.
Let him develop. And I really think that for the fans out there, again, those of you who have been high on Johnny Manziel since his Texas A&M days and the day that we drafted him, it is just create fair expectations for Johnny Manziel, both the good and the bad, and you have to take it in stride, and you have to understand what this guy is going through. If this is not Johnny Manziel and it's just another quarterback, would you be as critical? Would a naysayer be as critical if it was not Johnny?
No.
Or if you were not so pro-Johnny, would you be as high on him if he were just another guy? No, that's not the case. So create those relevant expectations of what solid quarterback play is in the NFL. And as I've said time and time again is, watch another winning football team. And we want our guy to play like them. The way they manage a game, the way they make the throws, the way Aaron Rodgers on Monday or Sunday night, whatever it is, you know, on Monday night, got, you know, just his eye control, his footwork, you know, his deviation in the pocket, but still to deliver the ball to the back of the end zone to Jordy Nelson, you know, and not take off and run when it's oh so easy. All those things should create your expectations for Johnny Manziel, not just in the Bengals game, but in the overall spectrum of him as the quarterback of your football team.
Yeah, look, this is going to be big picture here. I mean, there's no question about that. This is going to be big picture. And you're not going to get a complete, fully encompassing read by what happens on Sunday. Here's Anthony in Cleveland. What's going on, Anthony? Big League City. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. How are you?
Michael, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, sir. Good to hear your voice.
You know what? I kind of want to echo what you guys said earlier on about the way Mike Patton has handled this quarterback controversy. For a guy who is a rookie head coach, I thought he handled this incredibly well. You know, because it's not easy. It's a tough situation. And he handled it with such balance and such fairness. And with such loyalty, which is just incredible to see. So for the people who are saying, oh, well, he should have done this, he should never have put Hoyer back in, and what he did, he gave Hoyer the opportunity to redeem himself. What more can you ask for? You know, and it's loyalty, because he looked at it and said, this guy's won 7 games for me. I mean, for me to just take him out like that, that wouldn't be fair. So he gave him the opportunity to redeem himself. So, you know, he did a good job. Now, all of that being said, Michael, it is very important that Kyle Shanahan, because he's going to factor into this in a very big way.
Yes.
We're going to have to establish a running game, because it doesn't matter how good we think Johnny Manziel is, we're going to have a running game. And that's the case for any quarterback. So, you know, and they just got to do that.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Anthony. And Matt brought up a good point with regard to that earlier on. I was more looking at can you facilitate from taking snaps under center this offense the same way it was Brian Hoyer about 65% of the offensive plays. He was under center taking snaps. But, Matt, again, your point to that was there's going to have to be that with Manziel, maybe not to the 65% level, but to facilitate this run game the way it's set up and offensive line blocking schemes.
Sure, and even to back that statement up by myself is if you listen to, without the midget comments earlier in the week by Marvin Lewis, if you listen to Marvin Lewis's comments, what did he say? We're going to prepare for the Cleveland Browns and their schemes regardless of who's under center. Mm-hmm. And no, it's not going to change that much. And that's his best way of saying the Cleveland Browns are not going to recreate this offense for one player. They're not going to recreate a new scheme centered around one player, because then they're tuning this offense to the skill set of one guy, and you're essentially saying all 10 adapt for one as opposed to one adapting for the other 10.
Yeah. No, obviously, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And again, in 15 weeks deep into this thing, too. So we'll get into the second hour a little bit from Marvin Lewis's and Cincinnati's perspective. Let's keep rolling. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here's Justin in Lakewood. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Excellent. I just want to make two quick comments. One, I'm a big Johnny Manziel fan. When they drafted him, I was really high on him for the one reason, the Duke game that he played with A&M. That was he knew he was going to the NFL. His check was cashed. And when they were losing that game, he still put all of his heart and emotion in that game. And that's what made me a huge Manziel fan.
That's what you want in your quarterback. I mean, absolutely. I want a quarterback that can be down double-digit points in the fourth quarter and rally up his football team to win. To me, I got to tell you, that trumps a lot of other things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does. And more so than anything, but also, too, on the other side of the spectrum, though, if he was playing extremely reckless and he felt as if his check was truly cashed, because I did watch the start of that game but not the finish, so I didn't get to see the good of Johnny Manziel, but in watching, he looked unprepared and as if he had one foot in the parking lot already at the start of that football game, too.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show how when he turns the competition on or flips that switch, he can get really, really good if he's into it. But if he's not, he can also be really, really bad.
Before we go to break, I want to hit you with this. I've looked at the All-22 many times, and I happen to hear three NFL quarterbacks discussing this this week. The 10-yard, take a look, see that seam, touchdown run for Johnny against Buffalo. The quarterbacks on the panel felt as if, and again, I looked at the All-22. I maybe didn't see it quite as severely as they did. But their contention was he had Terrence West available in the flat, and that most quarterbacks are going to throw that football to West in the flat. The point they were trying to make is a concern, again, and we've brought it up. I put my hand up. It's a concern of mine, is that something's not there right away. First read, it's not there. I'm out of here.
Sure.
Is Johnny's thought. Do you feel it was that on that particular play, and how concerned are you that he won't be willing to hang pocket and go through progressions and maybe take a hit on delivery?
I'm not as concerned as you are, because I think that the reason I say this is because if you recall Braxton Miller at Ohio State, upon growing into the true quarterback pocket passer role at Ohio State, they had, and again, this was an off season, not a week to prep him for this, but they worked on his footwork and they worked on keeping him in. And you could see early that it was, you're gonna stand in that pocket, and I want you to throw that. We're gonna call 15 pass plays before you can take off and run with it. And you're gonna want to, you know. But I think in this case, Johnny is as athletic as Braxton Miller, can move around and keep the play open and available for his wide receivers to work together and find those zones without him taking off. But based on what we know about Johnny Manziel, what we saw as instinct in Buffalo, when it's there, he's going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Mike Pettine said yesterday, all right, well, you know, we don't want to take away all of his swashbuckling. But again, I'm almost close quote here. He also said, we don't want to turn this into street ball.
Right.
So there's a fine line. And that's why I chuckled, basically. And, well, that's what the offense was at Texas A&M.
Sure.
I'll say it a different way. Ad lib, create, and make it happen on the fly.
Make plays.
And that's kind of what the basis of their O was under Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M.
It is. And for those of you who didn't tune into Coach Pettine's press conference today, he said his sentiments, he was asked a very similar question, and it was, we don't want to limit Johnny from being the playmaker that he is. When things break down, go make a play, whether you run it or throw it. But he said, but when that offensive line does their job and creates that pocket, our intention is for you to stand in there and make that throw, whether you like it or not.
Because, Matt, as we know, as we go to break, offensive linemen, just I'm painting with a broad brush here, but it's a truism, they want to know where their quarterback is.
They do, because they can look really bad or really good based on his movement in the pocket.
There you go. Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, loyalty for the team is unconditional. Make sure you hook up with OBM. They'll provide exclusive no-risk guarantees and 7-year security blankets. Isn't that terrific? They're the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. OBM, they can tackle any one of your copier problems or take you to the end zone, Browns Nation. Guaranteed. They're the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Give them a shout. 216-485-2000. Don't go anywhere. A lot to go. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm. I'm Michael Regai. Nathan Zagura will join momentarily. A lot coming up. We're back in a moment.